I was overjoyed that for the first time in several years, a group of us was able to gather last night and to take last year's palm branches and burn them to make ashes for Ash Wednesday. That's something we've not been able to do. I've been doing that by myself for the last couple of years, so it was a joy to be able to do that. And I was struck last night about how palms, when they burn very hot and very fast. And there's much smoke and intense brightness. You may have seen some of the pictures on social media. As they are consumed by the flame, they also create this beauty, these beautiful orange embers that glow, and they even seem to breathe. And then once those fade away, we're left with this black, gray mound, this ash, which seemingly is lighter than air, I found out as I moved them and some blew away. And so those majestic branches of Palm Sunday are transformed into dust that we will wear tonight. And I was struck in thinking about this that the Christian life is all about transformation. It's about the movement from death to life. Ash Wednesday is all about transformation. The transformation of the palms, moving from palms to ash, and the transformation of our hearts and our lives. As I've mentioned before, I follow the daily word from the Society of St. John the Evangelist, a community of Episcopal monks in Cambridge. And their word today is called ash. And I thought it captures well this sense. There's a post by Brother Keith Nelson in which he writes, and I quote, "The proud palm branches of last Holy Week are once again reduced to two handfuls of humble ash. This day beckons us again to a lifetime's work of seeing afresh, seeing clearly, and giving our need to the God who formed us from dust. In that holy confidence and humility, let us begin." Unquote. And so it is in that confidence and humility that we begin our Lenten journey tonight. And we do that by honestly coming before God, by confessing that we have sinned, that we have failed short of the glory of God, that we have at times strayed from the paths of holiness that God calls us to walk in, that we do not always faithfully follow Jesus in his way of love. And so tonight we acknowledge all that. We come here, we confess our sins, we acknowledge that we are sinners who rely on the love, the forgiveness, the mercy, the compassion of God. And we do all this to make a fresh beginning and to begin this holy season. We heard in our first lesson tonight from the prophet Joel just how it is that we are called to begin. Joel says, "Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing." And so we come before God, trusting in God's mercy and love and compassion, in God's forgiveness, but also acknowledging our need to mourn our failings, to repent, which means literally to turn to a new direction, to reorient our hearts and our lives to God, to follow Jesus where he leads us. Ash Wednesday is all about our hearts and our wills, and it is a call to conversion, to repentance, to following God's ways. And yet, there is also inherent in this night a contradiction. We put ashes on our foreheads as a mark of our penitence, of our mortality. And those ashes can be seen by everyone. But in our gospel, we hear Jesus warn, beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So Jesus is cautioning us about how we approach this night and, in fact, our lives. To be careful not to practice our piety so that others can see it, can look at us and say, oh, look at that pious person. If that is our intention, then that's our reward. But instead, Jesus calls us to receive these ashes on our forehead tonight as a sign that marks a right beginning of a holy Lent, that marks our humble confession and our renewed commitment to deepening our relationship with God, with ourselves, with our neighbor, and with creation. And if we do that, then we will indeed have a profound and deep reward, one that is in fact life-changing. Trusting in God's loving forgiveness, mercy, and great compassion, we confess and repent this night. And we do this to convert our hearts and our wills and our minds to God, not so that we feel shame, not so that we feel unworthy, and certainly not to punish ourselves. What we do tonight is all about turning again to God, to a new start, to committing to following in the paths of holiness that God calls us to walk in. And so the ashes are a symbol of our penitence, of our desire to move into a restored and deepened relationship with God. When the ashes are imposed, the words are used, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. They're a reminder of our mortality, that we stand tonight before God, the one who is eternal, and we acknowledge that we are mortal. As followers of Jesus, we are marked with ashes and called to remember our own mortality, to remember that we are not God. Through baptism, we are marked as Christ's own forever. We are baptized into his death and resurrection. And through Christ, we are set free from the power of sin and death. We are set free from the temptations and lies of this world. So, being human, we will die. But the promise is that in Christ, we are safe with God for eternity. And so, in the certainty of that hope and promise, we begin our Lenten journey this night. We set off into those 40 days that offer an opportunity, I think maybe even a gift of time to heed God's call to return, the gift of time to reorient ourselves to God, to make our relationship with God our priority, something at the center of our lives. How do we do this? I think our gospel tonight offers some clues. Jesus mentions three practices that are central to the Christian life and to our Lenten journey. He mentions giving alms and prayer and fasting. Jesus calls us to give alms as a way to care for those who are in need, offering the financial resources we have, sharing from our abundance for those who do not have enough. The heart of almsgiving is caring for our neighbor. It declares that everything we have is a gift of God. And we are called to give away a portion of what we are given in thanksgiving to God. This practice helps to transform our world, and it also changes us. Giving away a portion of what we have means we trust God will continue to provide. Giving alms is the antithesis of holding tightly. It's about letting go. And it can be an antidote to the fear that we have that there is not enough. Jesus also calls us to pray. And just like Jesus, we are called to pray regularly, even daily, to set aside time to come into God's presence. And we can do this in many ways, including with words, composed prayers such as we find in our Book of Common Prayer. We can also pray in silence, coming into God's presence, listening to God's word to us, just being quiet with God. Another part of the call to prayer is also the reading and the studying of God's holy word. Prayer and study of Scripture offers a solid foundation for our Lenten journey, as well as the whole of our lives. Reading Scripture, we encounter the living God, God revealed for us anew now, in this time, in this moment. And finally, in tonight's Gospel, Jesus urges us to fast. And for many of us, this is maybe the most challenging. Those of us who have enough food, maybe even an abundance of food, may not think of fasting. Fasting in this land of plenty, I think, is not that popular. And yet, to give up what we may want, to resist our desires and cravings, and to pay attention to them, can show us the power that those desires have over us. It can reveal how easily we might, without thinking, give in to our impulses. And so fasting might transform how we live. It might show us that we don't need to consume all that we do. It might stir in us a deeper trust and reliance on God rather than on ourselves alone. Jesus calls us to undertake all of these practices privately, not for show, not to impress other people, not for approval or affirmation, but for ourselves, for the transformation of our lives, for the deepening of our relationship with God. Jesus calls this storing up treasure in heaven. We are allowing God into our lives to transform our lives. We're acknowledging our need for God and our need for conversion. We are heeding God's call to repent, to go in a new direction. In undertaking these disciplines, we are choosing what matters most, what leads us closer to God. And as Jesus assures us, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Lent is the season for transformation, including of our hearts and our lives. It's the time to die to the old life and rise to the new. It's the time for self-discipline and awareness. Lent is the invitation to be honest about the state of our lives and of our need for God. And it is through our Lenten journey that we are able to come to the celebration of resurrection life in Jesus. And so this night, I invite you to keep a holy Lent, to accept the ashes on your forehead this night as a symbol of your repentance, your penitence, as a symbol of your mortality and need for God. The ashes are a statement of our trust in God's loving mercy and compassion, in God's desire to forgive us and welcome us, a sign of how much God rejoices when we return and are in deep relationship with God. And so may we make a good beginning of Lent this night, walking these 40 days, that we are changed and transformed and come to a joyous Easter. Easter, which is the very foretaste and the promise of life eternal that God desires to share with us. Through our Lenten journey, may we be drawn deeper into the heart of God, into the divine life of the Holy Trinity. Amen.